Saturday. People having fun. I hear them out on the front porch laughing at the crazy things that they've done. That old lawnmower's cranking up. The branches scrape the windows. You know I think of our love, babe, every time that the wind blows.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, filling in for Joe Donahue. There will be a Johnny Irene and Friends concert at the Guthrie Center at the Old Trinity Church in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, this Friday, May 25th at 8 p.m. And Johnny Irene is here in studio now to tell us about the show and what else is new. Lots of cool stuff going on with him. Hi, Johnny. It's great to see you.
Good morning.
So I guess we'll start with the concert. Why are you doing a and Friends show at the Guthrie Center this Friday?
You know, Sarah Lee and I were supposed to be doing the show as a duo, but they have family matters in Florida. So it's the show must go on, and have recruited a few friends to come in and have fun with me. Charlie Rose, who's been playing bass with Sarah Lee and I for the last 3 years, plays incredible guitar, pedal steel. Charlie will be there. He also plays with Jonathan Edwards. So Charlie will be there, and Otto Hauser from the band Vetiver on drums, and a good friend of ours, Aaron Woody Wood from Asheville, North Carolina, is flying up to play. He's an amazing, he's kind of Asheville's, he's an iconic figure in Asheville, North Carolina, as far as like on the bluegrass picking scene. He's really a heavy hitter.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We had him. I spoke with him for this show at your suggestion, probably last year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, other news with you. You were just in Chicago.
We were in Chicago.
What's going on Chicago. In Chicago?
We were making a record with Jeff Tweedy and Pat Sansone.
Of the band Wilco.
Yes. And we were there for about 13 days. And we got a lot done, and we're going back in June, Sarah Lee and I, to finish up. It'll be our third duo record that hopefully will come out in early 2013.
It's a new Sarah Lee and Johnny record, and the one we just heard something from that didn't come out that long ago.
Bright Examples came out, it's been about a year and a couple months.
Okay, so you had material ready for another one.
Yeah.
That's pretty fast. You guys are prolific.
Yeah, we write a lot, you know. I think we sent Jeff and Pat like 40 some odd songs to cull a record out of, and we're real excited about it.
Are you very busy this year with all of the Woody Guthrie celebrations?
We're gearing up. We've got a lot of shows that start in June. Actually, the first Guthrie family show is at Clearwater.
The Clearwater Festival.
Yeah, at Clearwater. And then we're doing Newport, and we're doing a bunch of Canadian stuff and some West Coast stuff. And in between, Sarah Lee and I will be doing our own shows as well.
Of course.
So, yeah, it's going to be... We've done a few, actually. We've already done a few of the Woody shows. We just did a... Auntie Nora Guthrie put together, who runs the archives.
Of course.
Mount Kisco. They moved the archives from New York City to Mount Kisco recently.
That's awesome.
And she put together a show at the Nokia Theater in downtown L.A., which was with Kris Kristofferson and Jackson Browne and Graham Nash. And Sarah Lee and I kind of hosted that show. And it was amazing. That was really fun.
Was it? With those slouches of musicians there?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, Johnny.
I had an email from Nora not too long ago. She's like, so Graham and Jackson are going to be your backup singers for a couple songs. And I was like, oh, this is good.
Is that intimidating?
It probably would have been a few years back.
Okay.
I think late, as we've both continued to play more and be more in the fire, so to speak, of those situations, it's a little easier. And they're just both sweethearts. I mean, both Graham is amazing, and Jackson. We actually rehearsed at Jackson's studio in L.A. And Ramla Jack Elliott was there. It was a lot of fun.
Going back to the new record that you recorded in Chicago, that's hopefully coming out next year. How do you and Sarah write together? How do you guys? What's your process by which you make up songs?
We. I'm sorry, Cosmos is scratching. Can we stop scratching?
The family dog is here.
The family dog is here. And we tend to write separately because we are just so, we call it the bubble, you know, where we work together, we live together, we raise our two kids, our 10 and 5-year-old daughters, Olivia and Sophia, together.
Right. And the dog.
And the dog. And so writing is kind of like the last thing that we think about doing when we get home together. It's mm-hmm. like, hi, well, we've been together for so many hours on end in a rental car in the middle of Albuquerque somewhere. It's like, oh, let's write a song. You know, it's not
reasonable.
So, but it's been really cool to, you know, to do that separately. And then, especially with the record we're making with the Wilco Gang, a lot of songs that Sarah Lee's, you know, I'm writing the music and then she'll come in, like I'll lay stuff down, the music down and like an idea, and then she'll come in and just sing over it with ideas she has, and a few songs have blossomed like that, and that's been a nice way to work.
Sure. You are going to perform a song for us now. Tell us the story of this song. It has a cool story behind it.
This song is, the name of the song is called The Riverside Rocker. It's not on any records or anything. It's just a song that I wrote when I was in LA a few weeks back. I don't know if you heard about the Los Angeles County Museum paid $70,000 for a rock and then paid $10 million to move the rock. And I was in Los Angeles when this was all over the news, and people were either irate about it or thought it was cool or whatever.
Very supportive. Yeah. You're going to go one way or another.
And I woke up one morning, my Uncle Tom was... he had been in the hospital for about a week and got out, and all he got home and this rock is just all over the news. It's everywhere. He's like, and I wake up that Sunday morning and I can hear them getting coffee together. He's like, all I know is I've been down with the flu, and I wake up and there's a freaking, we paid $10 million for a freaking rock. You know, it's like people need clothes. There's, you know, it's just all kinds of, he just went on and on and on about it. And I ended up, you know, George Lay, who runs the Guthrie Center, had been kind of on me to, like, you need to write a song for Woody's birthday. You know, uh-huh. So we've been getting that. So I was like, well, this could be, there's something here, maybe. And then I started thinking about the rock, and then I started, like, stalking the rock. And I figured, I was like, hey, you know, Tom and I started talking about it. I was like, this is like the biggest rock star in L.A. It's like, he's not going anywhere, man. And so I wrote a song for it, and then we shot a video for it, and I had people, like, emailing me, saying, you know, man, this could go viral. And I was like, well, cool, whatever. And, I mean, I just recorded on GarageBand and, like, you know, put it up on the web. So
the video's on YouTube.
Yeah. It's called The Riverside Rocker, if you Google it, YouTube. And so I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like, so what if it goes viral? I was like, the last time Sarah Lee and I mean, we do a lot of benefits, but the last benefit we actually did was at the Colonial Theater with Martin Sexton and Tiff Merritt and for Haiti. But we haven't had time to, like, actually put on a concert and all that it takes to do it properly.
Right.
So I thought, well, this could be, maybe we could make it a download and, you know, get creative with it. And so we found a friend of ours who's on the city council in L.A. Knew the school that needed to raise some money. The Bellringers had been asked to go to London, and they needed some money to get there. And so we turned the calls into that, and we actually raised the money. So they're going to London to ring the bells, and I guess I'll play the song The Riverside Rocker.
Sounds good.
All right. There's a lot of rock stars in L.A., but this here rock, he's here to stay. Busted out of Riverside, 340 tons of granite can't be denied. He's a levitating piece of mass, not just another hole in the grass. He's a riverside rocker. He's a riverside rocker. They shrink wrap him tight so he don't get scratched when he's rolling to the show in his carrier Cadillac.
Handle us, cover him in Indian sheets. You can see him coming down West 6th Street. Don't matter if he gets older, can't do no laser surgery on a boulder. He's a Riverside rocker. He's a Riverside rocker. They had to build a whole new road for his bus and crew. Took down utility poles, burning diesel, $6 a gallon. On his way to play on the Jimmy Fallon. He's a bigger than Elvis and Dylan too. He's a foundation stone of his stadium, it's true. Sounds are sweet, can't help but listen. Ain't no guest list, everybody pays admission. He's a levitating piece of mass. Everybody wants a piece of that poo. He's a Riverside rocker. He's a Riverside rocker. Now I was asleep, fighting the flu. I woke up to this fool all over the news. Jimmy's in jail and Sue's out of work. And my Delta Dental's gone and my teeth, they hurt. No rocker ever had this kind of adulation. His pre-sales are out the door, they're just blazing. Like Muhammad Ali, gonna win the title. Don't have to play on no American Idol. He's the biggest rock star you'll ever see. Gonna help out the LA economy. He's a Riverside rocker. He's a Riverside rocker. That's when the Berkshire sing. He's a Riverside rocker. He's a Riverside rocker.
Johnny Irene and friends are playing at the Guthrie Center at the Old Trinity Church in Great Barrington on Friday at 8 p.m. GuthrieCenter.org, or you can call 413-528-1955. That phone number again, 413-528-1955. Johnny, great to see you as always.
Great to see you opening night at the Guthrie Center. So,
you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.